You're listening to The Third, a story about sex, love, and lies. I'm the author, Candy Washington, and I hope you enjoy. Don't forget to grab a copy of The Third on Amazon.com or read along on Amazon Kindle Vella. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with a friend to keep the sexy story going. Subscribe to 1214 Media Premium on Apple Podcasts for early and bonus episodes. Don't forget, everything is linked below, or email assistant@candywashington.com with questions. Thank you for listening. Dedication. This story is dedicated to those who are ready to fuck some shit up. Chapter 1. The Old Me. The generational curse that runs throughout my family mirrors the way blood flows throughout your veins, on an incessant loop, pumping from the heart and then infiltrating every molecule of your body. No nook is too small, nor cranny is too tight. There is no place to hide from the poisonous pathology of wound, deny, and repeat. I suppose that's what primed me for the current situation that I find myself in, a beautiful, educated 25-year-old woman that was chronically fatigued from the constant hustle for her own worthiness, numb to her own internal world and seeking external validation from any accolade, gold star, or semblance of attention. I was your stereotypical people pleaser, smiling on the outside, hollow on the inside. Right now, for some reason, I was ready to fuck some shit up. Perhaps it was because I was knee-deep in this brief for one of the most important client meetings of my career. I was in charge of coming up with the creative direction for our NetPix proposal. NetPix was the world's largest streaming platform for movies and TV shows, and this was the client that would take our company to the next level. And even though I already had my plate full, the thought of telling my boss no literally left a crater-sized pit in the middle of my stomach. So instead of asking for more support, I nodded and happily agreed to take on the workload that easily could have been divided amongst two other people. Thus, my apartment currently looking as though the Office Depot had thrown up in it. Markers, files, papers, post-it notes, and a large dry erase board had laid claim to my one bedroom and one bathroom place in Silver Lake. But unbeknownst to my boss, I had put together two creative proposals. One that was safe. It was corporate and vanilla with a faux diversity slant. Because, you know, it's all about inclusivity. My boss had eaten it up. But the second proposal was mine. That one was for me. It was the one that I had poured my heart and soul into, the one that I thought would actually be able to make a difference. It was the proposal that said something and stood for something. It was the proposal that definitely wasn't safe. It was the one that I was scared shitless to share with the powers to be at work. So I kept it hidden and quietly worked away on it. Because the fear of if they knew what I really thought, felt, experienced, and wanted to pitch, would they look at me the same? Would I still be their number one worker bee? Would I still be their good little soldier? They claimed to want new and fresh ideas, but it was very clear that what they really wanted was for everyone just to fall in line. And I had been an expert in falling in line. I guess this is a good point to take a step back and formally introduce myself. My name is Sadie Walsh, and I live in Los Angeles. For being relatively young, I make a pretty decent living as the senior copywriter at a fancy Beverly Hills advertising agency called DigiAd. But the truth is, I basically write catchy copy for corporate Facebook ads and come up with viral campaign ideas. Soul-sucking, yet extremely lucrative. But since I also had to support my aging and ailing father, and after Uncle Sam got his cut, I was only seeing about a quarter of my paycheck. You see, I was the youngest of three girls raised by a single dad in Connecticut. Even though we lived in a wealthy part of town, it was clear that my family didn't make as much money as the other families, as my mother had been the primary breadwinner as a bankruptcy attorney. My dad, Chuck, worked in middle management at a construction firm in the city. He made a decent living and home for us girls, but never fully realized his potential as a man. But he did his best. Chuck was what you called emotionally unavailable. And I had spent the majority of my childhood making sure that he didn't spiral into a deep depression or drown in the bottle of bourbon that he kept hidden under his bed. After our mother walked out on us the day after my fifth birthday to run off and start a new family with Chuck's best friend, Gary Snyder, my dad never quite looked the same. I knew he was still my father, but he moved as if his body had been taken over, bloated, stiff, and disassociated. Us girls had to quickly learn how to fend for ourselves. My eldest sister, now 35, named Estella, became just as attached as our dad did. She studied hard and went off to college, and we barely saw her after that. She now has two kids, lives in Memphis, and is on her third divorce. My middle sister, Lorianne, now 30, was a living nightmare. Her go-to coping skill was anger. She got into fights at school and was even more atrocious at home. She missed our mother and decided that it was my fault that she was gone. We currently don't speak. So when I turned 18, I left for college and then to LA. My father visits every now and then, and we send each other obligatory holiday and birthday cards. We talk daily on the phone, and I make sure his prescriptions are filled and he always has enough money to put food in the fridge. But all of that was the old me. That was the me that existed before the ginger. And nothing could have prepared me for what was about to happen next. Chapter 2, The Ginger. I felt my phone vibrate and the name Kyle sprawled on the screen, and a photo of the face of my gay best friend beamed back at me. I smiled and eagerly answered the call. I was dying to take a break, and Kyle always had a funny way of making me feel better. "Hey, Kyle, what's up?" I chirped on our FaceTime video call. His smile was almost tangible through the screen. "Hey, girl, just checking in on you. How's your proposal going?" he asked while simultaneously doing his eyebrows. It's going okay, but I'm freaking out. I really want to pitch my hashtag delete netpicks campaign idea to my boss. But what if he laughs at it? I almost whispered this into the phone, worried that my boss might somehow hear. Who cares if he laughs at it? Girl, your idea is amazing. Honestly, you should just quit that stupid job and start your own company. Being an entrepreneur is so hot right now, he crooned. Well, that's a fair point. And you know what? I'll add it to the end of the approved proposal. So if we have time left at the end of the meeting, I might just pitch it then, I said, thinking that was enough to keep Kyle's cheerleader antics at bay. At the end, that means you're gonna chicken out and never speak up for yourself. Sadie. Life waits for no man. It's time to take a risk and step out of that safety cocoon you're wrapped up in. I mean, when was the last time you got laid? Okay, point taken. And yes, it's been a while since I've had sex, but once I wrap up this pitch, I'll have more time to focus on dating. I lied. I had no intention of focusing on dating. Blah, 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 blah. Speaking of getting laid, my man is on the other line, so I have to go. Kill it tomorrow and call me after. We'll get a few cocktails to celebrate. Doodles, my love. Bye, Kyle. Love you, too. And tell Patrick I said hello. Kyle happily clicked over to take his boyfriend's call. I chuckled to myself and decided to make some tea and get back to the grind before heading to bed for my big day. But Kyle's words were still gnawing at me. Did I need to take more risk? Should I be having more sex? And what was wrong with my safety cocoon? After working myself to the bone on the proposals, it was time to call it a night. I tossed and I turned, but then I was able to finally and warmly fall into a deep sleep. I was dreaming about having feather-like wings and careening through the midnight sky, floating and flying above and below the stars, the way bubbles playfully float up and then burst. I could hear these beeps that sounded like a far-off trumpet creating the background music for my celestial flight. With my eyes fluttering open, my eyelids mimicking the movements of my dreamlike wings, I realized that those trumpet beats were actually my alarm clock, and that I had subconsciously pressed snooze about 5 times. It was 7:45 a.m. I needed to be at work by 8:30 a.m. for our big client pitch meeting, and I, Sadie Walsh, was never late for anything. Fuck! I jumped out of bed, threw off my tank top, undies, and my mouth guard, and ran into my bathroom naked, brushing my teeth, combing my hair, and doing a smell test underneath my armpits to see if a shower was absolutely necessary. And it was. 23 minutes later, with wet hair and a semi-wrinkled wrap dress on, I was in my car and headed to work. I never text and drive, but this was an exception, so I dictated to Siri what to text to Mallory, my best friend at work, who doubles as our beloved office manager and assistant. Siri, text to Mallory. Sadie is running a few minutes behind. I will be there ASAP. Siri, in her monotone yet patronizing voice, says, Sadie, did you mean you're going to run and we'll meet Mallory in a few minutes at IHOP? No, Siri, text Mallory. I'm running a few minutes late and I will be there ASAP. Siri, I'm sorry, Sadie. I didn't quite get that. Can you please try again? Ugh, forget it, Siri. You're fucking worthless. Siri, texting Mallory. You're fucking worthless. From Sadie. Psh, message sent. Fuck. I sloppily parked my car and ran into the multi-storied glass and steel building, panting, sweating, and with my proposals, files, folders, and purse in hand, I breezed past the front doors and made a beeline for the elevators. Hey, Sadie, Tyrone, our friendly security guard by day and Lyft driver by night, waved and smiled at me as I whisked past his desk and sneaked my way into the closing elevator door. Hi, Tyrone, I shouted as the metal doors shut closed. I let out a massive sigh of relief. It was mixed with frustration. And the gentleman next to me, who I hadn't really noticed, asked me what floor I needed to go to. 18, please. Funny, so am I. Headed to DigiAd? He asked politely. I then noticed that he had the reddest head of hair that I had ever seen, and a fire engine thick beard to match. His eyes were ice blue. I work there, actually. I sheepishly tried to calm my flyaways and straighten out the wrinkles in my dress because for some reason, I desperately wanted to impress him. He extended his hand. Pierce Carson, I'm head of... Before he could even finish, I blurted out, you're Pierce Carson, head of the digital marketing, original content development, and global sales at Netpix, the world's largest video streaming platform, and also my 8:30 a.m. client meeting that I'm currently running late to. He gracefully withdrew his hand, smirked, looked me up and down in a way that scared me. And for the first time in a long time, I was actually turned on. I silently wondered to myself if he could tell that my panties had started to moisten. Could he smell my pheromones too? Well, lucky for you, the meeting time has been pushed back to 10 a.m. I have to grab an empty office to take an international call prior to our meeting. I blushed, extended out my hand, and said, I'm Sadie Walsh, and thank you for being my savior today. We finally shook hands as the elevator chimed and opened up its metal doors to reveal the pristine offices of DigiAd, as Mallory conveniently walked by. In her early 30s, smartly dressed in a black pencil skirt and a tucked-in baby pink silk blouse with her blonde hair tightly wound in a perfect bun, she catches my eye with a worried look on her face. I reluctantly let go of Pierce's hand and scurried after her. You're listening to The Third, a story about sex, love, and lies. I'm the author, Candy Washington, and I hope you enjoy. Don't forget to grab a copy of The Third on Amazon.com or read along on Amazon Kindle Vella. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with a friend to keep the sexy story going. Subscribe to 1214 Media Premium on Apple Podcasts for early and bonus episodes. Don't forget, everything is linked below, or email assistant@candywashington.com with questions. Thank you for listening.